more the merrier, the more the better, and try to use the most expensive and the best substances that you can afford. So if you cannot afford gold, and you offer porcelain or you offer plastic, and that's the best you can afford, to the Buddhas, it will be solid gold or solid diamond. Don't ever think that the Buddhas won't give you enough more merits because you cannot offer better things. That is not so. You offer the best you can, the more you can, and don't think 14 bowls is enough. Increase it, make it more, make it better, make it more expensive. Make it as best as possible. In Tibet, in Mongolia, in North India, in the Buddhist countries, the sign of wealth is not what you adorn on your body. The sign of wealth is what you put on the altar and the images that you have. And what type of sign of wealth? It's not that you're so wealthy you can afford these things. It's your wealth of spirituality, that you can dedicate it and offer it to the three jewels and not to adorn your bodies. So that is a sign of true spiritual wealth. So people who cannot do a lot of meditation, you make a lot of good offerings. Then you pray all sentient beings may be free from suffering. But if you can do meditation, practice, and reading, and you escape that to do offerings instead, that's not good either. Be honest with the Buddhas. Be honest. So that concludes that, and we're going to do the mandala offerings now. Is that clear on that? Any questions? Yeah. This is very nice. I think it's copper, isn't it? Copper and silver plated. But it's copper originally. I think it's copper and silver plated. It's very beautiful. Oh, this is for sale, by the way. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yo. Of course, us facing the Buddha, left to right. Yes. Your left to right. Yes. Yes. Then you make one row in the front, one row in the back. Yes, of course. That, of course. Yes. That, of course. When you make it curved, because you don't have room, you make curve. Buddha's not going to slap you. Ayo. These small things, don't worry. If you make a curve, if you make round, if you make first row, two row, don't problem. Make sure what you make is beautiful and straight. This poor lady thinking, oh, entire slap her. Huh? No, no, don't worry about that. Small issue. But anyway, okay, I'm sure these questions will arise. Huh? Then we do the mandala. The mandala is a wonderful offering of the universe to the Buddha. And now we have talked about offering so much, and we know the merits and we know the benefits. I don't have to talk about that. I'll just show you the actual action of the mandala. The actual action. Come on. Then, you have the actual mandala recitation here in the offering to the mandala, and one should read that well, okay? And we're not going to read the whole book, because if I do, a couple of people will roll their eyes. So we will just go here to page 64, second, third paragraph. Therefore, it is of tremendous benefit for you to give rise to this attitude before you undertake any activity. What attitude? Bodhicitta. There is a widely followed practice in Tibetan Buddhism, what is called the four preliminary practices, the practice of accumulation of 100,000 prostrations, which we showed yesterday, 100,000 acts of refuge, we have talked about the first day, 100,000 mandala offerings, which we'll talk about now, and 100,000 recitations of 100 syllable mantra of Vajrasattva, which we did yesterday. So we should try to accumulate 100,000 of this. On top of that, 100,000 water offerings. Now, I had a question from a lady, do I have to buy 100,000 bowls? And I said, no. You offer, if you have 14, you do 14. Then you do 14 every day, 14 every day. How much is that in a week? 7 times 14, 98, isn't it? 7 times 4, 28, 98. So in 1 week, you have completed 98. Like that, you try to collect 100,000 as much as possible. It will collect the very basis of virtue for you to attain spiritual and material wealth in the future. Now let's skip down to the paragraph before the last. The Sanskrit word mandala signifies to take something of the essence. The lowest level is to assume a human birth in the future life. The next level is achieving nirvana, and above that level, or the ultimate goal, is attain perfect Buddhahood. So our goal here is not to have the lowest level, which is human birth. The next one is not to just achieve happiness and freedom from suffering, nirvana, but one should actually attain perfect Buddhahood. There's a difference between nirvana and Buddhahood. Nirvana is cessation of suffering in arahatship, arhats. They have not attained bodhicitta, but they have attained freedom from taking rebirth again and again. That is not Buddhahood. So don't mistake nirvana and Buddhahood. People take those words lightly, but it's quite a big difference. So we can say Buddhahood, that's what we want to attain. Further, there are two ways in which one can achieve this goal of Buddhahood. One is according to the path of sutras, while the other is according to the path of tantras. Thus, these three goals involve four different levels of practice, and they also represent the types of essence one might possibly choose to strive for. The particular level one would pursue would depend upon the individual's capacity. In every act we undertake, we are impelled by a specific motivation. It is very important to be aware of what one's motivation are, because they are in fact a determining factor with regard to the consequences or results which follow that any given act. For example, if one offers the mandala with a motivation that is a desire to assume a human birth in a future life, then this act will be a cause for bringing about that result. Similarly, if one offers the mandala with a motivation which is a desire to achieve nirvana, although the act itself is identical, the motivation will direct the same act to become then a cause for attainment of nirvana. Regarding the two forms of Mahayana practice, both the sutra and that of the tantra, the ultimate goal of both is exactly the same. The only difference between them is the method. All right, is the method. We don't have to go through all of that. Now we can go down to. Let's go to page 66, the last paragraph on the bottom. There are many unique properties about the mandala offering. For instance, if one offers one's own material riches to the three ratnas, ratnas is three jewels, is a Sanskrit name. The three ratnas are three jewels for the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. For instance, if one offers one's own material riches to the three ratnas for the purpose of paying homage to them, regardless of what the face value of the offerings might be, it is most important for one to make the offerings without feeling the slightest reluctance or unwillingness. However, it is usually the case that in the making of any such offerings, there usually does arise a degree of reluctance. Or if you do not experience such a feeling, you quite possibly will feel some degree of attachment to fame. That is, you might be thinking of yourself, as you are making the offering, this is indeed a wonderful thing that I am doing, how virtuous other people will consider me for making this valuable offering. Due to such an attitude, what would be otherwise have been a truly virtuous act becomes robbed of much of its worth because of the wrong motivation. However, in making mandala offerings, you will hardly be able to experience an ungenerous thought, and there is actually no reason for feeling any desire for fame either. When making an offering of material riches, one must do so in such a way that the offering will not lead to the accumulation of bad deeds. Not only is the manner in which you make this offering important, but also an object being offered should have not been acquired through any devious means such as theft. Here too, it is not actually possible for a mandala offering to have such a fault. There are a few of the unique qualities of the practice which makes it especially valuable. The mandala offering is also very easy to practice because there is very little effort, physical effort required to perform it. Perfect for us. In any description of the many benefits of the mandala offering, one usually is told of the story of the Bhikshuni Padma. Bhikshuni is the Sanskrit word for nun. Padma means lotus, so it means lotus nun. So it's a nun by the name of Lotus. She had been an Indian princess before she became a nun. Through the practice of the mandala offering, she was able to meet directly the Bodhisattva Aya Avalokiteshvara Chenezi Kohuanyin, as clearly as we can see one another here in the room. And by asking for and receiving instructions from this great Bodhisattva, she as a result was able to attain enlightenment. So she made offerings of mandala to Kuan Posa all the time, visualizing offering the universe without miserliness, collecting so much merit that her ignorance was taken away and she can perceive the Buddha herself, Buddha Avalokiteshvara Kuan, and to get teachings directly. As a result, she became enlightened. Therefore, this practice is very excellent. Also, the great Tsongkhapa was able to meet many Buddhas by practicing the mandala offering. In particular, this practice was extremely helpful to him in his efforts to realize direct nature, the most profound of all meanings. Tsongkhapa did 3.5 million mandala offerings within his lifetime, 3,500,000. After doing the mandala offerings, Jetsongkhapa had a vision of Manjushri, his tutelary deity, the deity he worshipped and prayed. Right after doing the last of the mandalas, the last obscuration was clear from Jetsongkhapa's mind. He had a direct vision of Manjushri, in which Manjushri took his sword, the handle touched his heart, and then the point touched Tsongkhapa's heart, and great bliss and nectar entered Tsongkhapa, removing him of his last defilements, removing him of his last ignorance, and he was completely enlightened, completely, and blessed by Manjushri. And after that, any time he prayed to Manjushri, Manjushri would appear to him directly, and he can talk. Before the mandala offerings, purifying and collecting merit, every time he wanted to contact Manjushri, he had to talk through his Nyingma tutor, Lama Umapa. So Lama Umapa was a great Nyingma master who was very attained, and that was one of JRMG's gurus. And whenever JRMG had some point or something to discuss about Dharma, he actually asked Lama Umapa. Lama Umapa, his guru, had talked to Manjushri. Manjushri gave him the answer and then gave it to Tsongkhapa. And that's how he communicated. Later, after doing the mandalas, Tsongkhapa was able to communicate with Manjushri directly. So, Another illustration of the great importance of this practice is a story about a meeting between the two disciples of Atisha. Atisha's closest Tibetan disciple, who was an Upasaka. Upasaka means lay practitioner, a non-monk, one holding the five precepts. Atisha's closest disciple was an Upasaka named Domdomba. One day visited the place where another disciple named Gombala was staying. It happened that the latter's ritual instrument for practicing the mandala offering was covered with dust, as it had not been used for some time. Domdomba asked the reason why he had not been practicing the mandala offerings. Gombala answered, "I spend all my time meditating, so I have not been able to find the time to offer the mandala." Upon hearing this, Domdomba criticized him strongly, saying that even Atisha, their guru, whose spiritual development was so vastly greater than Gombala's, his disciples, and whose meditation was much more profound than his, offered the mandala three times every day. After this, Gombala practiced the mandala offering more assiduously, and so as a result, the depth of his understanding was greatly furthered. These accounts are mentioned for the purpose of inspiring you to take up this practice of mandala offering. All right. Now we do page 69. We go down to the center where it says, "The weight caused by such misdeeds can only be removed by relying upon the proper antidote. And all the many types of antidotes to the bad karma, the one which is by far the most powerful is the mind which realizes the meaning of shunyata. Thus consider your right..." Okay, that's easy. I'll explain to you later. Then we actually do the mandala offering. Very simple and very easy. Now, when you do the actual mandala, if possible, you should have an actual base. All right? You should have an actual base. And we should skip... I will show you the short mandala first, which the recitation is on page 75. So you should get a base. If you cannot get a real base, it doesn't matter. When I was in America, of course, when I was a kid, I couldn't afford things like this. So what I did is I actually went out and got a plastic cover, and I just used that as a mandala. So you can get anything that resembles this. Jeremji was so poor during his lifetime, he couldn't afford things like that. So what he did is he did mandalas on a rock. He had a huge rock, and on that he would smooth it, and he would use it and use more rocks and visualize stones, precious diamonds, and he put it on that and offered 3.5 million mandalas with that. And he did so many mandalas that his hands, the flesh was torn away. But although the flesh was torn away, he had a vision of Manjushri immediately. So we can even use basic things. We don't have to have silver and gold. Of course, if we can afford more precious items for the mandala, is better. And do not think of this as one's personal possession. Again, it's offered to the Buddha daily. So one should have a cover for it. One should have a cover for it. And the mandala can be used of grains. It can be used from wheat. You can use dried corn, dried wheat, dried rice. If you can, then you use semi-precious stones and even more precious stones, or semi-precious stones mixed with precious stones, or rice and grain mixed with precious. This is very good. That's been given to me by a friend just yesterday. So it's been washed and prepared for offering. One should make a cover like so, square and a little bit thicker. A little bit thicker like that, and bigger so that it can contain all the stones and also your mandala. All right? It'd be very good. In actuality, in Tibetan style, we put it like so, with a string, and then we put the mandala and all the stuff here, and we do it in our laps. Actually, that's the way we do it. But I'll do it on top here in order to kasa, so you can see it better. All right? So the mandala base should be visualized as pure gold, lapis lazuli, beautiful, wonderful. In the whole earth, the three worlds are completely here, combined here. This is the base. Then your hands should never be empty. Your left hand, you should have kasa, jewels inside, so it's not empty. And then you hold it here. Then you visualize the base at this time. Again, you visualize it as your mind. And then this is your delusions. So if you have a lot of anger or hatred, you visualize this as hatred upon your mind, and you wipe it away by reciting refuge. Namo Gurube, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya. Three times, clockwise. Then again, Namo Gurube, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya, Namo Gurube. Based on the power of regret, based on the power of the four opponent powers, you purify. So any negative karma, you have delusions, hatred, anger, impatience, and selfishness, miserliness, anything, you put here, and you completely wipe away ritually. Namo Gurube, Namo Buddhaya, Namo Dhammaya, Namo Sanghaya, Namo Gurube. You can recite the refuge. Or you can recite Karsa, Vajrasattva, 往等到少少少么样，不然等少了等了不记得，绝对没事做干么？事不干么？什么？找我自己慢慢要找我干么？什么什么？好，我把我的什么什么什么什么也搞到。Okay. So usually you do it three times. Once, wipe it three times. Once, a second time, three times. Third time, three times. Wipe it well. The reason you wipe it with here is you have a psychic channel here, as I described to you yesterday, that is having the wind energy that develops bodhicitta. It develops wisdom. So the more you touch it, the more you activate it, the wind flows better, therefore you achieve bodhicitta and wisdom quicker. So by wiping that, it's very significant, psychically. Then you do the first one. The short one would be Sāshī. Right here is page 75. Sāshī pūgī jūshī mētō tāṁ rīrā līnsī nīndē gēmbādī sāngjē shīndū mētē uwa rūgun nāndā shīnā chūbār shō. Or this earth anointed with incense and strewn with flowers, and Mount Meru adorned with the four continents, the sun and the moon, I transmute into the Buddha field and offer, may all beings partake the field of supreme purity. So what you do is, this is the short one, but the visualization is long. You put the center, Mount Meru, Sāshī Pūjī Jūshī Mētō Tāṁ, the four continents, Rīrāṁ Nīshī Nīndā Gyanbātī, Sāngjē Shīndū Mētē Ōvāyī, Rūkun Nāndā Shīnā Chūbāshō, Idāma Guru Rāndāma Dālāka Nīrāyā Tāyāmi. Then you wipe it, Oma Āhu, Oma Āhu, Oma Āhu, Oma Āhu. Om aho, 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 and they're going to do 100,000. So even in their Malaysia, they're doing pujas and stuff late into the night, they're still doing mandalas every single day. So if you're doing a retreat, a mandala 100,000, you can do like that. Oma Namo Guru Pe. One clockwise, one counterclockwise. Slowly, and then Sāshī Pūjī Jūshī Mētō Tāṁ Idāṁ Jīshī Nīmī Gyāmādī Sāngjī Shīndū Mētō Vāyī Rūgwān Nāṁ Tāṁ Zīnā Chūpā Idāṁ Guru Rāda Mandalaka Nērāyā Tāyāmī. Don't think, oh, all the stones fall out, no merit. Don't think like that, because you have offered it, and it is there. And what you visualize is Mount Meru, Kangrimchi. Then the four continents, which is not the six continents that we have in this. What? Flowers, Jaya Jasko, everything you can offer here. Everything, music, everything fabulous to offer here. Then you grab on here and you offer it up. You visualize that. And then after you have offered up, you visualize you have received the attainments. Om Idama Guru Radha Mandalaka Niraya Tayami. Then you put it towards you. The reason you put it towards you is to symbolize getting the merits and the realization towards you. That is a short mandala offering that you can do, and that's what you do during your mandala retreats. If you don't have a base, you can do the same visualization, the same words with your hands as I showed you yesterday, putting your right pinky under your left pinky, taking your two ring fingers and putting it together, and then your middle finger under the left middle finger, and then each finger, the index fingers grabbing the middle fingers, put it up. This is Kangrimchi or Mount Meru Central, and this is the four continents. And then the sun and the moon. This is the mandala of the seven heaps. Seven heaps, which means Mount Meru, the four continents, and the sun and the moon. Sun and moon. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sun and moon, seven. It's the mandala of the seven heaps. You can do it this way, or you can do it this way. Now the best way to do it is once a day is the actual long mandala. For the long mandala, the visualization for the long and short is exactly the same, but it will be karsa. It is on page 81, all right? You can do it in English, you can do it in Tibetan, it doesn't matter. There are certain places where you put the rings, and when I actually put the rings, I'll make a sign to you, and you make a mark on that sheet where you put the rings, all right? Again, you take the base, and you take, so your hands is not empty, and then you put it here, hold it with something inside, never empty, very inauspicious. Then the base is clean and well. Then you take the rice or the grain or the jewels, whatever you have, and you can add jewels to that. And then you take it and you put it on, visualizing that it's your mind, and you purify it completely. Recite verses the refuge of Ajasata Omaha, Benzasata. Or short mantra, Benzasata Om, Benzasata. Three times. You can do more, you can do much more visually, as much as you want. If you have a lot of delusions, you can sit here and just wipe this away all day. It's okay. Then after that, you collect. You collect patience. You collect wisdom. You collect love. Whatever you need the most. For example, if you need to be patient more, less angry, you collect more patience and you visualize that. In fact, collecting the blessings of the body, speech, and mind of the Buddha. Then after that, you take the first heap. Then you look here, it says extensive mandala offering. Om Benza Bhumi Ahung. When you say Om Benza Bumi Ahum, you take one and you put it in the center. Alright? Om Benza Bumi Ahum. One Chi Sishi Sashi. Om Benza Reki Ahum. Then you make a circular motion visualizing iron mountains. Om Benza Reki Ahum. Chi Ja Ri Koyuki. Then you put the first string on. So right there, Chi Ja Ri Koyuki Koyo Usu Riga Borira. Then you put the metal ring on. Then Then it says here, you see that? Rigyabo is the third line. When you say Rigyabo, it means King of Mountains. Then you put it in the center. Put it right in the center. It's not dumping it in. You put it in the center like that. Rigyabo, Rira, Shalu, Pablo, Ho, Zambali, Nu, Balanki, John, Draminen. Shalu, Pablo means the continent to the south. To the east. So the east in here is not the way we visualize it in the western compass. East is the one facing us. Alright, so this would be east, this would be west, this would be south, this would be north. So, east, Shalu Babo, Ho Zambunin, Nu Balangju, Jan Jaminian, which means Ho Zambunin, a Shalu Babo. Shar means east, Shalu Babo. Ho Zambunin means south, then west, and then north, like that. So what you're doing is you're doing the four intermediate continents and then the eight subsidiary continents. Then it says here, then the four cardinal directions, and each of the four cardinal directions, you put two more drops. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. So first one in the center, then the cardinal, starting from one cell first, and then each of the cardinal directions, either side, two more continents, you visualize. Like so, alright? It's not just dumping it on and putting on Michael Jackson, having a good time, sucking on your Slurpee from 7-Eleven. Not like that, a lot of concentration. So each comma that you have is one word, and with each word you should put one item. So there it says Rinpoche Riwo Basan Gishin Dojipa Mamo Pai Loto. Just go along with me. After that we'll do it in English. Alright? Then when it says Kolo Rinpoche. When it says Kolo Rinpoche, you put on the next one, the next ring. Kolo Rinpoche. Then you put on the next ring. Alright? This way of doing the mandala was passed down to me, and I received the teaching from the great Kenchen, or Kepa Chenpo, Gishi Tudum Gensen, who lives in the United States. He's a great scholar, a master of Ganden Shatse Monastery. So I received this again when I was around 17. So the lineage comes from my guru, which he has received from his guru. It's unbroken, again. So, Rinpoche Ruo Basan Gishin, Kolo Rinpoche, Kolo Rinpoche, Polo Rinpoche, Nobu Rinpoche, Sumo Rinpoche, Lumbo Rinpoche, Lambo Rinpoche, Tacho Rinpoche, Sumo Rinpoche, Tacho Rinpoche, Mabo Rinpoche, Tejin Buen Buen Ba. So you have to coordinate it that it's filled up when you say that, right? When you say that it's filled up, so you have to put more. Then when you say Gekmo Ma is a goddess, the next one should go on. Gekmo Ma's, Raba, Gekmo Ma's, you say, Gekmo Ma, then you put on the third ring, Chengwa Ma. Luma, Karma, Metoma, Dubuma, Nasama, Dijama. Then Nima means sun. Dawa means moon. So you're offering the sun and the moon. So Nima and Dawa. Then you say Rinpoche Duk. When you say Rinpoche Duk, it means the divine, the great parasol, the precious parasol. Then you put this on top. Rinpoche Duk. Then you put the last parasol on. Alright? Then Rinpoche Chole Naba Jewa Jason. Rinpoche Do, when you have, it's complete. So when you get to Rinpoche Do, you should be complete. In the beginning, if it doesn't come out perfect, it doesn't really matter. You just try to make it perfect. Rinpoche Do, then you recite the rest of the words. Let's go to the next page. It says here, Keba Du Yang, Lama Losan Tuwan Doji Chang, Lama means your guru. Losang means Jeremchi. Tuguan means Buddha. Dojichan means Vajradhara. Chenpo, Haso, Hodang, Cheban, Namna, Shinga, Owar, Jiyo, Tujie, Jowe, Dundu, Xie, Su, Su. You can put your guru's name in there. You can put Keba, Dun, Yang, Lama, Jisun. For example, Dalai Lama's name, Jisun, Denzin, Gyatso, Desin, Gensan, Jisun, Denzin, Gyatso, Dojichan, Chenpo, Haso, Hodang, Cheban, Namna, Shinga, Owar, Jiyo. You can put that. Or you can use what they have there and visualize that that's your Lama. That's fine. So, Lama is Guru, your Guru. Losang is Jeremji. Tuguan is Buddha. Dojichan is Vajradhara. Chenpo, Hazo, Kodan, Cheba, Nang, Shingang, Uwajio, Tujian, Junju, Shizuso, Shinjian, Kanda, So, Jo, Ma, Jun, Nang, Tadam, Yabe, Sinjin, Sangjian, La, Tujian, Wa, Chenpo, Gonin, Jingye, Lam, Tu, So.
Then the short mandala comes again, what we just did earlier. Then you recite, Sashi, Puji, Jushin, Mentota, Vira, Linsin, Nindi, Yenba, Sanjin, Shindu, Minte, Uwa, Dugan, Nanda, Sina, Chue, Bara, Sho. You recite that, you can do other recitations or you can end it right there. So when you do that last recitation, you can chant it very nicely, very beautifully, to the best of your ability, or you can read it through depending on time. So that's the one we were doing earlier, alright? After that, you do Idama Guru Ratna Mandalaka Niraya Tami. Now on this one, you have the complete world, not just planet Earth, not just this universe. You have the three worlds, the form, the formless, and the desire, and all the four continents, all the universes here. And everything beautiful, wonderful, and fabulous in the universe, all the food, the clothes, all the lights, the sun and the moon, the stars, the brocades, gold, silver, diamonds, the mountains, and parks, and rivers, and lakes, and the natural habitats, and everything wonderful is all here. Restaurants, and music, and your golf courses, golf clubs, everything you can visualize here is not a joke. Everything wonderful you can visualize here. In symbolism, and then you can visualize here, and then you offer it up to your guru. You offer up to your guru or the Buddha that you're contacting. And then when you finish, it was very auspicious. It went to you actually. It means it'll be accomplished, your wishes. So after you finish, you dump it toward you. Oh, that's inauspicious for me. Never mind. I'll let go. I won't be attached. I'll let you guys win this time. All right. So, now, you dump it toward you. So it would be dumped toward your lap, all right? So if you have it in your lap, you dump it toward your lap. So don't hold it too high because it's not going to be very pretty. So you hold low and dump it like that, visualizing that all the attainments from the Buddhas and the blessings of these are brought in and you have achieved the attainment. And then you can do that mandala offering again. After you finish, you just put everything in, right? Like that. Let's just assume all the rocks are in. It's like one of those cooking shows, you know, everything's prepared and you just go on and on. So everything's inside, all right? Then you wrap everything up nicely and well with your cloth. Make sure your cloth is a little thicker. Oh, that's not very pretty. All right, wrap it well and nice. And then keep it well. Then you can keep it under your altar. And then tomorrow you use it again. You use this for your practice daily. When you go travel, if you're going for a long time, take it with you. If you cannot, you can do the short one with your hands. During teachings, before teachings, it should be offered to the guru and visualize the whole universe. After the teachings, it should be offered all the time. It is most auspicious. And it will collect a lot of merits, for one. So, let's remember that you may think, oh, how can put a couple of rocks on there and we visualize the universe, how can that work and how can that collect merit? On the same basis that if we have an evil mind thinking that we're going to kill everyone, we want to kill everyone, destroy everyone in the world, and we can't do it, but we think that, on that basis alone, we collect so much negative karma, just on that basis. So whether we make merits or not, it's a state of mind. So we can offer everything fabulous and wonderful in the world, and whether it's ours or someone else's, it's relative. Even if it's someone else's, it's not theirs forever, it's impermanent, it's relative. We offer everything beautiful and wonderful here, we offer it up to the Buddha without attachment. And on top of that, we can offer also the things that also bother us, we can offer up, because it will not bother the Buddha. So you, as I said the other day, you can offer up your mother-in-law, you can offer up your wife's nagging, you can offer up your husband's going out, you can offer it all up here, not them, but their negative qualities. You can offer it all up and give it away. And after you offer it up, you don't have it anymore. So if you offer up these delusions, you're less, you don't have any